is that it is so with Jerusalem. For it opens in the first verse the word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And so it is that in the latter part of verse 3 we read, "And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." And so from these very phrases we see that now the temple is in being. It is established. There is a law going forth out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem, the vision of peace. And so, brethren and sisters and young people, there is a fulfillment of that vision of peace, or city of peace, which is the meaning of the word of Jerusalem. And as we turn through the Psalms, we will see that this indeed has themes running through them in relationship to these things, which deal with Jerusalem, which deal with Zion, which deal with the city of the great God, and which deals with the house of the Father and also the temple. Jerusalem, because as the vision of peace, shalom, unity has been brought about because of divine worship, because there has been the bowing of the knee and of the kissing of the hand. Zion, meaning fortress, because out of Zion the Yahweh shall roar as a lion. Power is associated with a fortress, and power resides in the centre of the earth, in the temple, in Zion, in the fortress. The city, because dwelling within it are the citizens of Israel. A house, because it's the family of God. A temple, because it relates to divine worship. All of them titles which are associated with that which is at the centre of the earth in relationship to the divine things and the establishment of the kingdom of God on the earth and the erecting of this temple upon the top of the mountain of Yahweh in the land of Israel. Turn with me to the Psalms. We will see these thoughts being expressed and these points being made clear to us in relationship to the title, that Zion, Jerusalem, the city, the house, and the temple are all one. They're not separate places. They are all one. And in the use of the different titles, it shows the different aspects that will be carried out from that place of worship. In Psalm 102, and in verse 13 we are told that Zion, as a particular time and place in relationship to the plan and purpose of Almighty God. For there it says in verse 13, "Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favour her, yea, the set time is come." And so in relationship to the things of Zion, in relationship to the things of Jerusalem, in relationship to the house of God, in relationship to the city of God, in relationship to the temple, there is a set time in the divine plan and purpose of Almighty God to favour her. And in this we can have the utmost confidence that although that time, brethren and sisters and young people, seems to be a long time in its fulfillment, that time is sure. And at the appointed time, Yahweh will favour that place which he looks upon as the apple of his eye. And in the fulfillment of it, those blessings will go forth unto all nations. And so it is that the psalmist takes up these themes The Spirit, through the psalmist, takes up these themes. And the things which are spoken of in the Psalms, which have a relation to the time and age in which they are spoken, are projected forward to the future age in glory, when we understand the plan and purpose of Almighty God in relationship to His house, to His temple, to His city, to Jerusalem and to Zion. Look at verse 22. For we see there that the people are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve Yahweh. And so it is that divine worship has been established in the mind of the psalmist. Turn over with me. We see there it was relating to the things of Zion and Jerusalem. And in Psalm 48 we see that there it is related to Zion and the temple. Psalm 48, verse 1. Great is Yahweh and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, beautiful for situation. The Brother Revised Version puts it, beautiful in elevation. See it in relationship to the prophecies that we have previously spoken of. Beauty in elevation, the joy of the whole earth. Contrast it. The things of the city of God and of Jerusalem now, that's certainly not the joy of the whole earth. It has become a troublesome stone, as the scripture said that it would be, to those that would rest themselves with the dealings of Jerusalem and the city of God. But he says there is a time coming when it will be indeed the joy of the whole earth. And it will only be accomplished when they have learnt to bow the knee and to kiss the hand. The city of the great king, which we hope to deal with in our second session this afternoon. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. What a lovely thought. Contemplate it. Think upon it. That there is a place of refuge for those that would seek to him with an understanding heart and mind. And so it is in verse 8 we are told, as we have heard, so have we seen, in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. We have thought of thy loving kindness, O God, in the midst of thy temple. And so it was with the psalmist that utters these words. He thought of the loving kindness of God in the midst of the temple, in his day and age. But project it forward. See the words in relationship to the future age. See of the desire of the people that wish to go to Jerusalem, the city of the great king, to the temple of God, to the house of God, to Zion, that there will then be indeed, a contemplation of the loving kindness of God in the midst of thy temple. The judgment's been meted out. In faith, they find themselves walking towards the temple. And as they consider all things that have passed, so they are caused to realize of the loving kindness of that one that they have come to serve. Beautiful, isn't it, brethren and sisters, when we consider these words in relationship to their future application? Look at Psalm 87. We've seen there in Psalm 48 the Zion and the temple associated together. And in Psalm 87 verse 1 it reads, His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. And so here we see Zion associated with the city of God and the testimony of the word that glorious things are spoken of thee, which we have contemplated over this weekend, have we not? Of those glorious things which relate to the future of Zion. and to that psalm that we had read, that psalm 122, where the spirit of the psalmist expresses himself again, his innermost feelings in relationship to the worship that he was giving then. But project the words forward into the future age once again and see the import of those words. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Remember Isaiah 2? We want to walk in his paths. We want to learn of his ways. Let us go up unto the house of the Lord. Let us go unto the house of Yahweh. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Related also to the saints, not only just the people that are coming up at this time, but the saints that are dwelling there within the gates and within the city. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. We saw it on the side that Brother Simon presented to us from the work of Brother Sully. Beautifully portrayed in its greatness and in its magnitude as a city that is compact together, whither the tribes go up. Remember how Brother Simon pointed out? The cantons of the land, the strips of the land that would be those which are associated with the 12 tribes when they're established in the land, surrounding that section which is given over to the prince and the holy oblation in the land. The tribes will go up. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of Yahweh unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of Yahweh. Because they have learnt the principle of obedience. Because they have learnt of the blessings that come from obedience unto Yahweh. For there are set thrones of judgment. The apostles sitting upon the 12 thrones appointed by the Lord Jesus Christ unto them, that they should judge the 12 tribes of Israel. The thrones of the house of David. And look how the appeal from the psalmist is to all of those throughout the ages who have become the spiritual house of God, that have become the spiritual Israel, which have become the spiritual Bethel, that has become the citizens of the city, the spiritual citizens of the city now. Pray. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We can understand why now, can't we? All of our hopes are bound up with this vision of peace, of the gospel proclamation. It's become the centre of our lives. And so it is that we pray for the peace of that place which has known so little peace throughout the world's history, for a short time during the reign of Solomon. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. A peculiar expression, isn't it? Until we have understanding of that which we have been talking about over the weekend, that which we have been taught by God's word, that you will prosper because we love Jerusalem. We have come unto be the spiritual Jerusalem, because these things have become our hope, because these things have become our desire. And we are part of that heavenly Jerusalem, of that spiritual Jerusalem. Peace. The prayer. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces, because we see it in its finality of the only way by in the plan and purpose of Almighty God that he will bring a reign of righteousness and peace to the earth. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee, because of the house of the Lord our God. I will seek thy good. Yes. In this psalm we see it as the house of Yahweh, of peace being within the walls. And mark well that we consider that one who has accomplished that very fact. For we are but followers of him, even the Lord Jesus Christ, that has established peace for those that are in him now, and in the future age will bring peace by saying to the stormy winds that blow, "Peace, be still." And the world will be still. For Yahweh is in all his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him. And he will. You see, he has the power, he is in Zion, to accomplish it. He has the word of instruction, because he can teach it from Jerusalem. And so we see the wonderful testimony of God's word in relationship to that which is the centre of the world, even Jerusalem, the temple, Zion, the house. In all of these things we see it. It is also seen as a place of sacrifice. I think this is a point which we have to draw home to our minds at this time. In Psalm 51, and we remember that the background of this psalm is that sin of David with Bathsheba, and of the fact that it was pointed out to him that he was the man by Nathan, and he brought about a repentant attitude of heart and mind in him. And this psalm is set against that background, and it commences, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness." And look how it ends. The psalm ends in verse 18. "Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem." And so in the doing of good pleasure unto Zion, and in the building of the walls of Jerusalem, there is a purpose in it in the mind of the psalmist, expressed here by the Spirit. And in verse 19 it says, "Then, in the building of the walls of Jerusalem, and in its good pleasure towards Zion, then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness, with burnt offering and all burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar." The centre of that temple, the altar of God, the ale of God, the lion of God. And the altars upon which the offerings have been made. And they will be accepted, because they are offered in a right attitude of heart and mind. Not like Saul that we mentioned previously in our addresses. For there will indeed be a bowing of the knee and a kissing of the hand in relationship to their thinking and their way of life before the one that they serve. Most telling, isn't it, as we consider these things. Yes, it's a place of sacrifice, and it's been shown to us in Ezekiel yet again, in Ezekiel chapter 20. Verse 14. For it says there, "For in mine holy mountain, in the mountain of the height of Israel, saith Adonai Yahweh, the Lord God, there shall all the house of Israel, all of them in the land, serve me. There will I accept them. And there will I require of your offerings and the first fruits of your oblations with all your holy things." So Yahweh is saying that in the set time to favour Zion, in the establishment of Israel in the land, and particularly Israel in this reference here, then there will be a time in which he will want to accept their offerings and the first fruits of your oblations with all your holy things. "I will accept you with your sweet savour when I bring you out from the people and wherein ye have been scattered, the countries wherein ye have been scattered, and I will be sanctified in you. before the heathen. There's the testimony of the word and of Ezekiel, that there will be offerings in the future age which will be acceptable because of the change of heart and of mind of those that offer them. And so it is that we have come to learn of the things of Jerusalem and of Zion and of the temple. For indeed there will be the fulfilment of those words which we find uttered in Luke chapter 1 in relationship to these things. Luke chapter 1. Verse 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob for ever. And in reigning over the house of Jacob forever, it requires that the house of Jacob is subject to that king priest of that future age, that Jerusalem, that Zion, that the temple, that the house of God and the city of God has now been established and been accepted by Israel, and the work has gone forth. And it has been accepted by the people and the nations other than that are Israelites. And so, as we learn from Isaiah chapter 60, the flocks of Kedar will be used in that day in the offerings that will be made. But for the last few minutes, I want to see the house of God as a source of comfort, as it can be to you and to me now in this day and age. And for that I'd like us to turn to John chapter 13. You see, much of what we have learnt this weekend will help us to understand many of the statements which are made by the Lord Jesus Christ in relationship to his disciples. And it will help us to understand the comfort that are in the words that he utters. Verse 36. Remember that this is all associated with that Last Supper. He had taken them into that place, and he had washed the disciples' feet. He had given them instruction, and he had taught them. And he had spoken to them of that new commandment which was required of them, that they should love one another. And in verse 36, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither thou goest thou? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me hereafter. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee? Why can't I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Now can you imagine the words and the effect of those words upon this man that couldn't hide his feelings? Of one thing about Peter, it was certain, he couldn't hide his feelings. As we read through the gospel account, we think of him as impetuous Peter, and now the one that he'd grown to love. the one that he had been trying to serve faithfully as far as this is concerned in his own mind, the one that he had seen perform mighty miracles on behalf of his fellow men, the one that he had sat down at the feet of and been taught so much of God and of his ways and of the way of life, the one that he saw as being the right individual that should possess the kingdom and should take it. Peter could never think that he could deny his Lord. And yet here was his Lord saying to him, through the weakness of the flesh, Peter, through the weakness of the flesh, and we know it was just the words of a maid, of a woman, thou wast with him. And he denies his Lord. But think of it now as these words penetrate into his mind. How disappointed he would feel. How it would show within his face that the one that he loved so dearly, you're going to deny me, Peter, through the weakness of the flesh. Now, we all bear that flesh. We all bear the propensities of it. And just look what Jesus does. Having told him of that which he is about to do, he puts healing balm on that wound that has been made on Peter. The expressions as we read through them, as if he puts an arm upon the shoulder of Peter, with all of the sadness that had come over him that his Lord could think that he could deny him. Let not your heart be troubled. What wonderful words from the Master are these. Let not your heart be troubled, Peter. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And Peter, when the time had come and his Master had looked upon him, and he went out and wept, and he had 3 days and 3 nights to contemplate the things which had taken place in respect to his Lord, and now with great joy he had seen his Lord come back, resurrected from the dead, given immortal nature, untold power. What words of comfort would these be as Peter, with repentant heart, turns to his Lord and becomes an apostle of great faith? And Jesus had uttered these words as words of comfort. In my Father's house, Peter, are many abiding places. We've seen them displayed as we have gone through the prophecy of Ezekiel. Take comfort, Peter. And Peter took comfort. It inspired him to become a man of great faith, as he realized that the Spirit that had come upon his Master, that had risen from and brought him from the dead, was now in the control of his Master, and that he could accomplish all these things which had been spoken of in all of the Scriptures. We have the same nature as Peter. There will be times in our life, times of proving, times of testing. And the words of comfort that were given to Peter at this time can be words of comfort to us, if with repentant heart we direct our ways to him
and the promise can be assured to us. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Only we can forestall that and alter it through the ways of the flesh and not showing a repentant heart and mind. But find it as an exercise of when you are going through the scriptures. See how to become Jerusalem-minded, Zion-minded, house of God-minded, the temple of God-minded, the city of God-minded. It's themes that run right the way through, and they express the plan and the purpose of Almighty God with this earth, which is centered upon that which is the apple of his eye.
Brother Keith, in his remarks, took us to the Psalms, and the psalmist, in underlining what Brother Keith has already said, we read, "For the Lord hath chosen Zion, he hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever, and here will I dwell, for I have desired it." And we've seen from Keith's remarks that this is the desire of the Creator of the universe, and he invites us to have the same desires and the same love for the city of Jerusalem. We now take a half hour interval and a break for tea. Just one or two announcements before we do that. I'm asked to remind you about the set of tapes that are available at the cost of £5 per set, and anyone who is still interested, would you please